Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, please, back to the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. This four-word phrase has just caught in my heart and in my mind. And I'd like to go back to it and just glean from it what I can, what we can, by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use this now. Lord, I ask that if there is somebody here or somebody listening that needs both encouragement and a challenge regarding what you do for us, pray that this would meet a need. Speak to my heart. Continue to speak to along this line. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we were here, and we will tonight. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. But here is a four-word phrase that we've already gone to, we've already emphasized, but we're not done with. I shall not want. There was a man by the name of Terry Bell who related an experience that he went through in 1969. He said, "It was my first real mission trip. I was in a little village in South India and terribly homesick. I was 20 years old and starving for a good old-fashioned American cheeseburger. I had not had one in 2.5 months. I can remember that. Remember when we were in India? I just wanted a quarter pounder. We drove by a McDonald's. You don't get quarter pounders in India. But you do get chicken sandwiches." And I just made mention of that, and the pastor that we were with shot somebody over to the McDonald's. And boy, I tell you, that chicken sandwich tasted so good. He says, "I had not had one in 2.5 months. The land around me was semi-jungle, semi-bush. Tarzan would have felt right at home, but I did not." We remember those places there in India as well. He said, "One boring afternoon, I whiled away the hours by playing with the monkeys that forever enlivened our premises. Standing out on the balcony, I teased the little primate creeps by giving them dough balls made from a loaf of bread I was holding." You ever done that before? You know, make those up. "A hairy hand or paw, whatever, would reach over the edge of the roof. I would place a morsel in it, and like lightning, it was retracted to the squealing and grunting delight of his monkey-minded buddies." What a game. Suddenly, I realized that on the street below my balcony, a crowd had gathered. They were not near as entertained by this monkeying around as I was. One thin-faced, sickly-looking boy looked up at me with bulging eyes. In broken English, he said, "Master, feed poor boys, not monkeys." It was like a stab in the heart. In the street below were orphans, beggars, lepers, the offscouring of humankind, mothers and fathers who had starving children, children who watched malnourished parents die, parents who would watch their hungry children, watching them die, knowing they left them to a miserable life on the streets. And there I was, playing games with the bread that for them was so precious. I was cut to the heart. This afternoon on YouTube, a thing came up every once in a while that will, something from North Korea. This video was done in 2014. A man who was Japanese would work with people, and he might still be doing this, people that are in North Korea filming, seeking for the world to see what's really happening in North Korea. And it was so gut-wrenching to see the videos of children that were digging through scraps, trying to find something to eat. You know, maybe you have the same thing that we have in our room, or in our house. It's called a scale. I get on that scale, not because I'm afraid I'm going to lose weight. I'm seeking to keep things down a little bit. You know, I read that of all the Psalms David wrote, this is the most quoted. And time after time after time after time, people have read this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can say it almost philosophically sometimes. And yes, we can say it and be thankful for what we have. There's things like this that, you know, we've grown so used to. By the way, Tim, you had us sing Jesus Loves Me. Do I know that song? I sang that song probably about 10 to 20,000 times over to each of our kids when they were born. I mean, there is no better song to sing to your kids when you're trying to put them to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning than Jesus Loves Me. What was David speaking about when he said, I shall not want? Well, it does hearken back to the first part of the verse. The Lord is my shepherd. The sheep recognizes the authority of the shepherd in his life. Because he is the shepherd, there is no lack. It's more than not lacking material things. It means a genuine contentment. I'm not going to want. He's not thinking of different stuff. It's a focus of contentment and being completely satisfied with the shepherd himself. I think about the young people that this man described from back in 1969. I think about those that we saw when we have been, not many, but we did see some on different missions trips. I'll never forget at night, I think I've shared this before, but here we were driving, I think it was about 10 o'clock at night in Mexico City. And the traffic on the freeways would kind of come because it was so, you know, it was so congested. And when the cars slowed down, all of a sudden, here these kids came and they were begging. Like, oh my soul. When we stop and consider a contentment, and I think of a child's face, or an adult's face for that matter, what really starts to come more and more into mind is this: that when it comes to spiritual things, the adults and the children of the world cannot say, I shall not want. They're wanting. That's why they're putting everything they can into a God-sized hole in their heart. They're putting immorality, they're putting alcohol, they're putting drugs, they're putting all kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about. They'll even put things like sports or just gain or fame or whatever. But they're doing everything that they can so that somehow they could feign saying, hey, I don't want. It's okay. But we know that God is the only one that satisfies. And so I consider going on in this way. Every day of my life, I'm meeting people that are starving. This is why this gets to me. I shall not want. Can I ask you something in all honesty? Have you found God to be more than enough in your life? Have you? Amen? I found that. What about others? This brings up the thought of the two-minute warning, but it goes beyond that. It's every time we get together. It's the service right now. My desire is that we reflect on this and rejoice that indeed, because of Him, I shall not want. And anybody that's listening, anybody here, if there is difficulty, they can realize, you know, I shall not want. You know, I got to thinking of preaching the message this morning in Romans 8:28, and I'm watching Sean down here, sitting here. I'm telling you, he struggles. There are times he walks or wheels himself out because the pain is so hard. I want him to know that he can trust God in the pain. With that, he can say, you know what? I shall not want. He can't. It's his right. It was given by the Lord who met his need on the cross. You could turn to Mark chapter 10. Forgive me, I'm modifying the message as I stand here. Mark chapter 10. A familiar story. Verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. I love this next phrase. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Here was a young man that was looking for something, but he was looking amiss. And the Lord loved him. He desired, he needs to be in the place where he will be able to say, I have Christ, I have no need. Let's read on. One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now catch the picture here. He had great possessions, but he was wanting. He had so much, but he didn't have what counted. And he left. Think about that. He did not recognize the shepherd. And with the shepherd comes the satisfaction of having the shepherd himself and being able to say, I shall not want. And the world is full of people like that. And Christians even struggle with this notion. Can I have something else? Who was it? Who was the multi-millionaire, billionaire, or whoever, this, when somebody asked him, J. Paul, get, you know, how much is enough money? A little bit more. You know, we have Christ. We don't have to say, well, I want more of him. We have all of him. Now, we can desire more, but he's not going to be holding anything back. We don't have to work for it. He's given himself. I find it so sad. I wonder what this young man, who probably became an old man and then went into eternity without Christ, I wonder what he has thought. I was standing there in front of him. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you've got a God that says that, you shall not want. Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You have Christ, and you will not want. You know what it comes down to? When it comes down to this statement, I shall not want. Do you know what makes the difference in a person's life? The manager. I'm not talking about somebody like a baseball manager. Well, maybe, but more so. First of all, there's Satan that seeks to come and rule in the life and ruling it, ruin it. When Satan comes, he comes differently than he really is. We know this, 2 Corinthians 11, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They will say in a time coming, peace and safety, but then sudden destruction shall come. In this situation, they'll come in saying something about your needs being met, but they won't. They won't. Give the dollar, God will multiply it. You know who I'm talking about. Satan comes. He comes lying. What does he really bring to a person's life? He brings ruin. He brings the lie. He's a chief. He's the thief of God's truth. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. You know, when you get into these scriptures, I get to thinking, the phrase echoes in my mind, I shall not want. Because there are things that hinge on that. They need to be able to grasp the truth and the truth giver. There's hinging every day, and especially on the Lord's Day, and yes, on special times when we have preaching, there's hinging this fact that there will be people that will hear truth and they could walk out rejoicing with this thought, I shall not want. He has met my need. The Lord is my shepherd. But they haven't. Satan snatches the truth away, or they stiff arm it, or whatever. There are people that we have sought, you have sought, to embrace the truth, and they don't. And they're left wanting. Not only is he a thief of God's truth, he blinds the heart of men. 2 Corinthians 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Praise God, in reading of the individual, the man, this morning, who was blind, but he was made to see. What a joy, but so sad, when there are those that have the opportunity to see, but Satan blinds them. He seeks the hearts of men. He seeks the truth to snatch it away. He seeks out believers for their personal destruction. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's the kind of manager the devil is. But then there's the Lord. Turn once again. We were there this morning. Turn once again to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. I want us to remember this, even from this morning, because we need to be reminded of the character of the shepherd. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I am, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That is where the abundance comes from, whereby we can say, I shall not want. Verse 14, once again, Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's speaking of us, the Gentiles, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, praise God, and one shepherd. You know, in these verses and others in John 10, what is it that we learn about the shepherd? Well, first of all, we understand this. He knows our names. He knows us. He knows our names. He knew Simon. He even gave him a new name, Simon Peter. He called Zacchaeus by name. But he also knows our natures. And in knowing our natures, he understands us. All sheep are alike in their essential nature. But each sheep has its own distinctive characteristics. By the way, people do too, right? We're all different. The loving shepherd recognizes the traits, and still he comes and says, I know my sheep. When Christ can say, I know my sheep, we can return with the joy, I shall not want. Because he not only knows how to deal with humanity, he knows how to deal with me. He knows how to deal with you. And we shall not want. You ever met somebody that was a little difficult to deal with? You ever lived with somebody that was like that? Honey, don't say a word. But you know, we've all known people, it gets a little tough. You know, you sit and you think, you know, God can deal with that person. You know how I know? Because when I've been stupid, he's dealt with me. Isn't it fascinating the times when we have come to realize that we have walked away from him? We come back and he loves us. We know it because his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And we can say through the tears, I shall not want again. I love that. There might be a sheep that is afraid of high places. Can I tell a story on you, honey? I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. So we're in the Philippines. We're in the Philippines, and we're staying in this place. I think it was when we were in the Philippines, and we're staying in this compound. I mean, it had metal gates. I mean, we went in there, and we were locked out from the world, and it was kind of fascinating. We walked out on a second floor balcony, and my wife would not go up to the railing and look down. She hates heights. I'm looking at this, and it's like, what's the big deal? You know, she's different than I am. Now, how many of you, is there anybody here, you can't stand heights? Raise your hand. All right, we're going to go on a hike. No, I'm just kidding. But then there are other places I've looked down, and it's like, whoa, you know, I don't want to handle this. A sheep might be afraid of heights, another of dark shadows. Don't put me in a dark room and mess with me. I will make a door where there is no door. A faithful shepherd looks at all of the idiosyncrasies of his sheep, and he deals with each. See, that's what we can rejoice in. We go into a situation. Some people, when there's difficulty in the land, some people might respond with, well, praise God. Lord will keep us. But then there's going to be others that they have a real difficult time. They don't like the insecurity that the situation is bringing. What we can do is this. We can assure others God will meet even your need, because all of us can come to the point to say, I shall not want. I shall not want. I remember back in 2001, 9/11 took place. And of course, we were going to different, you know, news agencies. There were different television stations. You know, we're all going back and forth trying to catch what the latest news is. And I remember Peter Jennings was one of the newscasters that was there. And he was telling about what was taking place and this and that, just like the others were. And he, as he sat in that chair, he looked so confident. You know, he just had it together. He's you know, bringing the news across, et cetera, et cetera. And then a while later, his voice started to change a little bit. Now, I'm talking months. I can't remember how many months or a couple of years or whatever. But then he shared something. And then, of course, we found out that he had throat cancer that came. He had some kind of a cancer that came, and it eventually killed him. And he said, this is what happened. That after 2001, after 9/11, that he started smoking again. His insecurities were getting to him. On television, he looked fine. But he wasn't, and so he started smoking. We're going to wind up having situations come. In America, we know this. And we're just going to have to, by God's grace, instead of condemning other people, just assure each other, you shall not want. Maybe you handle things a different way. It's okay. God will meet the need. This is why I look at this phrase and I think, You know, there's coming a time when we're going to be needing to encourage each other more and more and more. I got something on Facebook. I was going to bring it up, and I forgot to bring it. But Lisa Reddick, missionaries Mike and Lisa Reddick, have been in touch with the missionaries and the Christians in Myanmar. And they got this one, I think it was an email. They got an email from these people that were just going through some horrific times, and they kept a time account. Okay, 11:52 p.m., so-and-so's house was torched. 12:06 a.m., another house was torched. 1:18 a.m., the church was burned down. 1:37 such and such, the pastor's house was burned down. That's what these people were going through the whole time. They talked about this, you know, I think it was like a congregational church burned down, and then the Baptist church was burned down, and lastly in the morning, early in the morning, the Presbyterian church was burned down in the village, and they're giving pictures of it. They're showing pictures. Some of them, somehow, with a drone, they're over the town, or maybe it's from a hillside, I don't know. But it was good and close, and you could see the houses and the churches going up in flames. We have no concept of that. We can sit back and say, I shall not want. But what about them? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They might be saying it through tears. We're saying it maybe, and I'm not accusing anybody in this, but maybe, you know, we'd be tempted to say it with a yawn. See, I shall not want. He knows our natures. He knows our needs. And we see that listed through the rest of the psalm. As the shepherd cares for the sheep, he knows their needs, he knows their natures, and the sheep get to know the shepherd better. He loves his own, John 13:1. Isaiah wrote something in a prophetic form of the shepherd, the work of the shepherd. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 61. This is the reason why we preach the Good Shepherd. Listen to what this shepherd did, as it were. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, that the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That is our God taking care of his own. That's the shepherd taking care of the sheep. That's us. This is what Christ quoted later on, part of it. He's a good shepherd. And because of that, we shall not want. How different we are, it doesn't matter. We shall not want. I praise God for that. I couldn't get this phrase out of my mind. I hope and pray that was a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can even dwell on this while we're before the throne of grace. The Lord is my shepherd, and for that reason, I shall not want. Lord, I pray that this would be our meditation. I pray, Lord, that this would be our hope that we hold to, our comfort, our joy, and our praise. I shall not want. Just briefly, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about, we find ourselves through the week oftentimes meditating on things. Sometimes they're worthless. Now, this week especially is going to be busy, but we're going to have times where we're just meditating, we're thinking, and the world is going to try and put thoughts into our mind. Let's keep this in our hearts and in our minds. Because of who our shepherd is, our manager, we shall not want. He knows me. He knows my needs. He knows my nature. I still shall not want. Lord, thank you for how you have met our needs. Your will be done, especially this week. Give us your strength, your power by your Spirit. Lord, we need you. We rejoice that we have you. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.